Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
So what we want to focus on in this series is it's to be renewed by God, and I shared that last week that we all need to be renewed by Him. And we might have an amazing common sense. We might be very smart. We might have a lot of experience. We might have tremendous testimonies of the past. But I believe that it doesn't matter who we are. We're all in need of being renewed by God. Amen? Can you say that to your neighbor, that you need to be renewed by Him? It's so easy to fall back on our abilities, right? It's so easy to walk according to our wisdom and to live autonomously from God and just say, hey, God, I've got it. I've got the will. Like, thank you for leading me for a while, and then and tell God, I think I got this. You gave me some good directions, and so I'll go on my own. The problem is that we need more than direction. We need assistance. Amen? So we go to God's word and we know that we find direction, but at the same time is that we can't fulfill His word if He's not walking with us. Actually, I cannot hear from Him properly if I'm not connected with Him. If I'm not renewed by Him, I can't do His will on my own. I can't represent Him. I can't shine the way that I should if I'm not found in Him, right? And so it's important for us to realize, as much as our bodies needs to be regenerated when it comes to sleep, as much as our inner person needs to. And sometimes we forget that. We forget that we are called to be renewed by Him. And I believe the reason why God wants to renew us is because He wants to walk with us. The intention of God from the book of Genesis was His desire to be personal and walk with us. This picture that we find where God is walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. What an awesome picture, right? And we see the picture in the book of Revelation where Jesus is knocking at the church door and He says, can I come in? It's like the church is doing life without Him, right? Is it possible to see that happen? Yeah, that's even an early church in the same century of the resurrection of our Lord. We find a church that is not relying, not walking with, not having supper with Jesus. And that's a reality and a danger for us to live a life disconnected with Him. And you might say, well, I gave my life to the Lord like when I was a kid or maybe last year. It doesn't matter. The reality is, are you walking with God? The question I asked last week was, are you fresh? Are you fresh in Him? And I believe God wants to refresh us, right? And it says in John chapter 15, verse 5, apart from me, you cannot do nothing. You can't do nothing. And Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. Can you just tell your neighbor that you are the branch, right? By the way, you're not the vine. You're not the vine, He is. Like, He is the one that gives me nurture. He's the one that is rooted. He's the one that makes me bear fruits. I'm not the one, right? And we live in a society that it's so, we're invited or we're tempted to do it on our own. And I think we miss the boat when that happens. And so when it comes to living by the Spirit, it's to be renewed by the Spirit, right? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us follow. So it's possible not to follow. It's possible to miss out on what God wants to do in our lives. And like I said, it doesn't matter. I can be a pastor, and I am a pastor. If I don't connect with God, I'm going to fall back on what I know. I'm going to walk in the flesh, right? And so it doesn't matter who we are, and there's no respecter of people when it comes to that. If I live disconnected with God, it's going to show. It's going to show by how I live, and others will also see it because there's not going to be the flow of God in my life and through my life, right? So we want to see God move in our lives. And how do we see that happen? It's to make room for Him. I shared last week, we got to make room. Take some time apart. Got a busy calendar. Some of us, we hit the ground running in the fall, right? Zoo! It's so busy. We cannot do it without being renewed by God. And I shared about taking moments. Instead of running to her phone, we can take a moment during the day and talk with God, making sure that we are gelled with Him, entwined with Him, and connected. Otherwise, we respond in the flesh. So it's important for us to realize that we are called to be connected. Jesus gives this parable, this story in Matthew 25 of 10 virgins. 5 that are wise and 5 that are unwise. And the 5 that were wise had oil in their lamps, and those that were not wise didn't have any oil. And they were waiting for God, for Jesus to come. It talks about the return of Jesus. And the key ingredient was to have oil in their lamps. And they could not share their oil because it's a personal thing. We can encourage one another and all that, but you can't be filled for me. You can't be renewed for me. As a husband, I can't be renewed for my wife. Even though I might love her, she has to be renewed by God. In the story of these 5 wise virgins, they had oil in their lamp. It says that they all fell asleep. Not that they were sleeping spiritually, but they were going through life. And we are all going through life. And what really matters is what is not seen. It's not about religious. It's not about your inheritance and your heritage, I mean. It's about being renewed. So we want to be like the 5 virgins that have oil in their lamps. Amen? And so how does that happen? It's by connecting with Him. It's not complicated. And God is not a respecter of person. If you want to connect with God, and God says if we draw close to Him, He will draw close to us. And so it's important for us. That's so central, and it's so basic, right? Have you ever been in a place where you are dry, like you're not fresh? We all have. And then when we see God refresh us, pouring fresh oil on us, it's amazing what it does, right? And so we want to experience fresh oil. And so this is when we give Him space, when we say, God, I need you. But what I'd like to talk about this morning, I'd like to talk about fresh oil, not as a top-up. Like you're going to, I don't know, co-op, and you want to you have a few filling of gas, and then they say, can I check your oil? And your oil might be a little low. They say, can I top it? Can I top your oil? And you say yes or no, depending if you have oil in your car, you might say no or yes. I don't want to talk about topping up oil. I want to talk about oil change this morning. And an oil change is when there's a removing of the oil, of the old oil, and the pouring of the new oil, with the thought that I need to be refreshed by God. I need to be renewed by Him. I've got this huge deep fryer, okay? One time I went to, there's someone in church that has a cabin, and we went fishing there, and he had this amazing deep fryer, and I fell in love with the deep fryer. Maybe I shouldn't, as you can see that I maybe should not be in love with this deep fryer, but it was so amazing. It was like propane fed, and it's like there was a blue torch that went in, and it's kind of a V style, and it heats oil. Like you can put fries or whatever, deep wings, and it never fluctuates in temperature. It's great, right? But the thing is, you don't really see the junk in on top. It all goes in the bottom, and it's well made because you can function longer, and all the junk gets in the bottom. But when I clean it, I've got this little hole to remove the oil, and it's like there's fries in that, there's like gross stuff that are coming out, and then I say, well, why am I eating deep frying stuff? Anyway, that's another story on its own. But there's a need for oil change, and I believe that in sometimes in our lives, seasons that we're at, we need to have an oil change. We need to see God come in a new way, in a fresh way. When it comes to our decision, when it comes to our direction in life, when it comes to things that are causing us, to holding us back from following Him. And I believe it's a great season for us to see an oil change. And I believe that God wants to do that. It's a focus on realignment. It's a focus on being renewed. And I believe that at some point we all need an oil change. And I'd like to give you snapshots of where I believe God wants to bring an oil change in my heart. Oil change in my heart from bitterness to forgiveness. From bitterness to forgiveness. When I walk in bitterness, it's not good, right? Like bitterness, so sorry, or unforgiveness is like a net that causes us to be prisoner. It prevents us of moving forward because it takes so much room in our hearts. When you have unforgiveness in your heart, it takes so much room. It causes you only to look back and not to look ahead. And you become a prisoner. And I believe that God wants us to experience His oil, His presence, so there might be a washing of unforgiveness in our lives, so that we would not walk with bitterness and resentment, because it's steering my life. It gives me lenses to see others. It causes me not to trust. It causes me to shut my heart up. And so I need to see that change. Amen? I need to see that change. So this morning, you can do life and have an oil of unforgiveness. And it's gonna influence the way that you do life. What we need is a baptism of love. Come on. Where we're caught by the love of God, where the compassion, the goodness, the mercy, and the of the Lord just takes a hold of our hearts when it comes to Him, when we love Him, but also when we're not able to love anymore. We're not able to extend. We're just caught up. This is where we need this oil change, where God comes and renews us in the inside, giving us the strength, giving us the ability to do that what we can't. So when we talk about oil change, we're not talking about you making it happen. We're talking about God making it happen, right? And so we want to see that oil change, because if we just continue to walk in bitterness and resentment, and it just paralyzes us. We all have testimonies of that, right? You've been in a situation when it comes to your family, when it comes to coworkers, people around you, and it's hard, right? It's hard to let go, and it freezes you up, and it prevents you of being what God wants you to be and to do. So that you say, God, give me an oil change. Change me, Lord. Change my heart, right? It's not easy, because it talks about letting go, but it's very important. And I believe this is what God wants to do. He wants to bring healing in my heart. If you have bitterness in your heart and unforgiveness and resentment, say, God, change my heart. Do a miracle in me. Amen? Also, I need an oil change in my mind, where I leave lies and I embrace truth. Like, it's turning off the old tape that plays in my mind, the hurts, the betrayals, the failure, the regrets, the bad decisions, the missed opportunity, all the what ifs, and not to be controlled by it. Like, I think it's important to stop chewing or ruminating. Like, you got this picture of this cow, right? That just chews. And I believe we get caught into that, playing the old tape, reviewing, replaying, and replaying. And as we replay it and we replay it, it just not good, right? It paralyzes us in the inside. Even when it comes to missed opportunities, what if? I remember my father-in-law, I probably told the story before because it was kind of a cool story. My father-in-law, well, stepfather, because it's long story short, my mother-in-law lost her two husbands by death, and she married a third time. And so he was talking about him having land in the Ottawa Valley. And land in the Ottawa Valley, it's gold. It really is gold. And he thought he was going to be a millionaire, and he had land, and everything went south. Everything went south. He was an unbeliever. Everything went south. And I remember him talking to us and the boys, and I think it was really cool teaching. He said, the best thing that ever happened for me was not to have the land, because I was so corrupted inside. I was so corrupted, I don't know what I would have done. But when that didn't work out, it brought me to a place of brokenness, and I turned to the Lord. He said, I thank God for that now. Like, okay. It's like not playing the tape of loss opportunities if I would have done that, right? It's like for some of you, when it comes to investing in some companies, if you would have known the outcome, you would have invested many years ago, eh? And probably you would be very wealthy. It's like Bitcoin, right, when it came out. Imagine hearing about Bitcoin when it was like number, and then you buy it, and you put a $5,000 in Bitcoin. Oh, wow. You would probably have your own jet, right? But what if you would have your own jet? How would you live? What might have happened? I'm not saying that wealth corrupts everyone, but it definitely corrupts some, right? Right? But the thing is, sometimes we get caught on missed opportunity. And we think, if it would have been, if I would have done it, I would have retired earlier. Repeat. Let go of it. Let go of it. Realize that God is a redeeming God. And sometimes what we don't like, what happened in our lives, can be the best thing that ever happened to us because we don't know the other track. Right? We always think the other track is always better. It might not be. And so what we want is not to always ruminate. And so we want to see God as a redeeming God. We want to see God touch our hearts. It's not because there was a missed opportunity that God is not able to open other doors, right? So in all change in my mind, it's not to be caught by lies and be controlled in my mind. Another area that I believe that we might need an oil change is it's my spirit, from control to surrender. It's about the lordship of Jesus. It's about worship. It's about focus. Who am I living for? What am I living for? There's some of you right now, you're here, but you're not living for God. You know about God, and God has a portion in your life. It has a little piece of the pie, but you're not following Him. You're not committed to Him. You're not getting up in the morning and say, God, what is your will for my life? Hey, I will do what you ask of me. These hands are yours, and this heart belongs to you. And it's not an easy thing. It's not always instantly, but it's a journey to be on where we are engaged in having our heart surrendered to the Lord, our spirit surrendered to the Lord. Like, it's to give Him control. I'm going to ask you this question. Can you give God control? Really? Can you give Him control? It's hard to give Him control, right? Can I, as a pastor, say, God, I give you control of the church and all the different moving pieces. Can I give you control? Man, it's hard, right? There's a battle because I want to step in. And so what I need to do is say, God, I give you control. I want to surrender. And you know, when you are in control, it's very tiring, very exhausting, right? It's like you're carrying all this, and then you bring it to Jesus, and you realize that Jesus can carry it way better than you. Right? But I believe some of us, we need this oil change. We're in control. We are in control, and we are exhausted of being in control. Exhausted. Oh, it's too heavy. I can't do it. Well, you got to receive the yoke of the Lord, that it is light, His burden that is easy, right? Or vice versa. You want to experience that in your life, right? And so you want to see the lordship of Jesus. And I invite you to have this oil change. To say, God, move in my spirit where I'm not living for myself. Or move in me so you can be the Lord, so I would not do life fending for myself like an orphan. The spirit of an orphan fends for himself. He has to fight for his right. Always fighting. Has a problem to trust God. But a son and a daughter doesn't have to do that. We got things to do, but our foundation is that we know that God loves us and that He has us. So it's going from control to surrender. Another oil change I believe that we need is from comfort to calling. Spiritual oil change is realizing that life is more than living for myself, more than for my business, my yard, sports, comfort. It's stepping in God's calling and purposes. And this is so important for us to understand that. If I can just have your attention, God has placed a calling on you. God wants to work with you. God has placed you in certain area to shine. And all of us, without exception, we all have this calling. And it's like Ephesians 2:10 says, God has prepared good works in advance for us to practice. And so God wants to flow through me. If you're alive, he wants to flow through you. You might say, well, I'm retired. There's not a list in heaven, retired and unretired. Oh, yeah, retired. We'll forget him. No, God is at work. And it's all linked to living a life of purpose. And so there are some of us this morning, we need to have an oil change. See this change? Instead of living for us and taking care of business, and we say, God, you've placed me on this planet to do your will. Can you reveal your will to me? I want to hear your will. And sometimes God doesn't give you the whole plan in one shot. Sometimes he gives you pieces. And as you connect with God, as you stay connected to the vine, he will unpack these things. But the thing is, I believe that we limit God when it comes to what he wants to do through me and you. It's where I receive his heart and I'm caught with things that he's caught with. And it's to see God move in at that level where I choose to go beyond comfort and I embrace calling. How many of you love comfort? We all love comfort. Nobody doesn't like comfort. But it's to see calling as more important. To be caught up with the calling like Jesus was, like the apostles were, right? So all change in my purpose from comfort to calling. To see an oil change in my identity from self-sufficiency to grace. It's accepting my limitation not as weaknesses, but as opportunities to depend on God, strength, and grace. You know, I'll open a little window of my life. One of the biggest for me I saw as a curse, and the biggest annoying thing for me, it's my English. When I came here, my English was way worse than it is, and for those that were there, you probably remember. I remember one of the elders says, when Claude gets excited, I have a problem to understand what he's saying. This Latin blood came up. But you know, I would go home after a message and always feel like I wasn't good enough. And then you wanna, like, it's something I can learn, but at the same time, I wasn't born English. Like some of you, you might have Pludich, you were, or German or Russian or whatever language. And so I said, God, why? Why am I here? Why am I called to preach in English? And there's way better English pastors than me, and why? And I remember fighting against this to the point where I realized it was my strength. It caused me to depend on him and to embrace humility. It's a good thing. So instead of seeing as a bad thing, it's a good thing. So there's stuff in our lives, limitation that we have in our lives that we see as bad things, all your education or your family background or whatever, you're not eloquent, and you see it as a something negative, but all this time, listen to this, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to you because it causes you to depend on him. Amazing, right? And so I need to be renewed with this mindset because what happened is that I limit what God wants to do in my life and through my life based on who I am. But it's bigger than that. So maybe in my weaknesses, this is where I am strong. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, right? So I need to have an oil change. I need to have an oil change where I'm breaking free from the lies that says that I'm not worthy. And I heard this more than once. I deserve pain and suffering. I deserve it. I cause it. I'm paying for it. It's my lot in life. I was going to say, what the heck? I'm not allowed to say that, but I just said it. Like, where did you find that in the Bible? Experience forgiveness, do restitution, do your best, but realize that it shouldn't be your prison. You should not believe that lie. It's replacing the urge to quit when I'm overwhelmed with discouragement. And say, God, I trust in you. I rely on you. You will always provide and you will always make a way. Whatever you are, when you turn to God, God will always make a way. God will always provide. It might not be according to your own understanding, but long haul, hindsight, you'll see, man, God, you were there. And he is there. So all change in my identity from self-sufficiency to grace. Also, an all change in my walk from sin to holiness. It's to break free from the control of sin and the damage it does. It creates guilt, discouragement, and it ruins relationships. There's nothing like sin to break and to ruin relationships. It's unreal what it does. It broke relationship between us and God. It broke relationship between two brothers. And from the get-go, so there's a need for us to experience forgiveness, but also it's linked to confession. It's to choose to walk in the light instead in the darkness. It's to give him our addictions, to break free. Some of us this morning, we need an oil change. We're walking in sin. We let sin just take roots in our heart. We don't think it damages other people. It doesn't. We think it doesn't damage us, but it really does. It puts a barrier between you and God. It puts a barrier between one another because it causes us to lie. Sin causes us to lie. It really does. My last one here is oil change is in my relationship from isolation to community. It's like being this closed oyster that opens up again, right? It's becoming open to community and letting people in and trusting people. It's choosing to contribute instead of expecting. It's to say what I can do versus what they should do. It's choosing to contribute and stop expecting. How many of you need to have an oil change when it comes to your relationships? Well, God is able to do it. Like when we became Christians, the focus is on new birth. There was this huge change that happened. New birth, new name, new life. But we know that life happens, right? And things happens. And so we need to be renewed. We need to be refreshed. So there's sometimes a need for a reset, a fresh start, a reboot. And it's not you that decide, oh, reboot today. No, it's opening to what God wants to do and the voice of God and the word of God and the presence of God upon your life that changes us from the inside, right? Like, look what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, you're not the first one to run. You're not the first one to hit walls and have challenges. He says there's all the prophets and the of old that are there. But look what the invitation is. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance a race marked out for us when we have our eyes fixed on the author and the perfecter of our faith. But how many things entangles us? How many things that hinders us? The sin and things that causes us to not move forward. And so we need to have an oil change. The question is, how can we have an oil change, right? First, it's through repentance. Drain the old oil. It's to confess and turn to him. God, blew it. See my situation? Rescue me. It's not about you rescuing yourself. It's not about self-help. It's not about, oh, I'm going to do it now. No, God, I blew it. Rescue me. I failed. I'm a sinner. I'm broken. Right? Look what it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Now repent, or because of Jesus, repent of your sins and turn to God. And your sins will be wiped out, wiped away. Then times of refreshing. Can you say that to your neighbor? Times of refreshing. Times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. So what are we called to do? We're called to repent of our sin and turn to him. And what happened is our sins are wiped away. Think about this. Our sins are wiped away and there's a time of freedom, huh? Like it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if you confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And this is where we find true freedom. We're refreshed by the presence of God. We're hit by the waves of the presence of God. We're renewed. We are not anchored anymore. We're not tied down anymore. We're not prisoners anymore. We're floating. We're sailing. We are free. And that's what confession does. That's what repentance does. The second thing that we can do, or we should do when it comes to experiencing new oil, is to surrender. Invite God to create, renew, and restore One of the greatest texts that refers to that is the story of David after being challenged and by Nathan the prophet with the story of Bathsheba and also the death of Uriah. In Psalm 51, verse 10, look what it says. Look what David says. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, because he thought about Saul that lost his spirit. I don't want to land up like Saul. You know, there's some bad example that can become positive in our lives. I don't want to see that happen in my life. And that's what he says. Cast me not away from your presence, and don't take away your Holy Spirit from me like it happened to Saul. And he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a living spirit, with a willing spirit. When he says, create in me a pure heart, the create is bara. It's the same word in creation. It's not aza or form or just mold, but it's God, give me a new heart. Give me a total, clear, clean heart. Make something new in me. That's what he says. Make something new in me. And then he says, renew a right spirit within me. He's asking for pure motives. No hidden agendas, no selfish ambition. He's asking for stability in his inner life, not wavering between sin and obedience. He's asking for a spirit that is upright and faithful. Renew a right spirit within me. It's surrender, right? Look at your life. Look at the things that are before you. If we have this approach in relationship, in our calling, in life, so God created in me a pure heart. Renew me from the inside. Give me new motives, new perspective. Invade me. And this is what God does. I'm not talking about a fairy tale here. I'm not talking about just an illusion. That's the word of God. And he says, restore the joy of my salvation. David had not lost his salvation, but he had lost his joy because of sin. Sin robbed him from his peace and joy. And he lost focus of who God was and how wonderful he is. So what we're called to do? We're called to surrender, repent. We're called to also receive what God has, why Jesus came. Listen to the text I'm going to read. I don't have a lot of time here. But I want you to listen to what Jesus came to do. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, saying that there's grace, but also I will sit upon the throne. Then he says, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow or to put on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oak of righteousness, a plantation of the Lord, to this splendor for to display of his splendor. So this is what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to bring us freedom. Jesus came to pour fresh oil. Like it talks about healing brokenhearted, setting captives free, releasing darkness, the prisoners, proclaiming grace and also lordship, to comfort those who mourn, to provide those who grieve, to bestow a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life to the fullest. My last point here, and not the least, how do I experience oil change? It's when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. When I ask God to fill me with His Holy Spirit, I need His anointing because I can't do it without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It shall come to pass it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder. He's talking to the Israelites, and the burden that they have is the Assyrians that wants to destroy them. And he says, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. And other version will say because of the fat. And that's it refers to the Holy Spirit. And so when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's more than just fresh oil that refreshes us. It's empowerment to break chains and fuel our calling. It can happen in an instant. It can happen right now that you experience a breakthrough, or it might happen when you connect with God on a regular basis. But the reality is the Holy Spirit breaks the yoke. Can you say that to your neighbor? The Holy Spirit breaks the yoke. You know the yoke that is heavy? The yoke that you carry? The heaviness that is on your shoulder? The Holy Spirit comes and He breaks that yoke. Gives you a new start. Gave you a new start when you gave your life to the Lord, but still can give you right now a new start. To be fat enough, okay, that's the picture. To be fat enough in God that you have the strength to break. Really, it's Him that breaks the yoke, right? So wherever you are this morning, God wants to free you. God wants to move in your life. And if you are in need of an oil change, He's going to come in your life. He's going to move upon your life. In your heart, in your mind, in your purpose, in your spirit, in relationship, in your walk, in your identity, God can come and do a tremendous work. My prayer to you as your pastor is that we would connect with God and that we would let God in, do whatever He wants to do. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.